worship song. So the song is, "O come ye, all ye faithful." So please, come ye to your seats. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I know the coffee's good, but come to your seats. Chatting with friends is good, but come to your seats. The best person of all is the Lord, and He is here. So let's begin worship.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. We are going to begin our worship with "O Come, All Ye Faithful," which is just a great way to start worship during Advent. So please stand if you are able and join us in this.
I just want to say hi to everybody. You're welcome to be here. The song says, "O come, all ye faithful." Today you might feel like you are faithful. Maybe somewhere inside you're feeling like you're sort of faithful. Maybe you're kind of wondering if you're faithful at all. We come in different conditions. And Jesus says, "You are welcome." Jesus says, "I have longed to see you here." And I'm not just speaking nice religious language when I say that. What I'm telling you is the truth. And I have to tell myself that same truth sometimes, because I notice I come in all kinds of different head places when I come to worship the Lord. But He welcomes you, regardless how you feel about yourself or what you see inside. I just wanted to read some opening scriptures that I judged were in line with the theme of today. The first one is from John 8, seen one of those little lights that have a little tiny candle wick and olive oil inside that would have been the common light for Jewish families? They are a flicker, but they are the light for the house. So whether you're a flicker or a blowtorch, God loves you, and he wants his light, and he will make his light grow in you if you just say, okay, Lord, when he says, come, follow me. So, Wynn and Tim and girls, you would come and light the candle of joy for us.
Was stirred in heaven's towers to ring when the voice of mortal maid was heard that was mother of heaven's king. Mary's pregnancy was far from comfortable. First, she had to tell Joseph that she was pregnant by God. This angered Joseph and caused him to consider divorce. This forced Mary to give birth to Jesus in a dirty stable made for farm animals.
Far from ideal circumstances for a king, Mary then had to endure a long, painful journey on a donkey.
Mary persevered and gave birth to the Savior, who ultimately granted access to salvation for us all, even those who ridiculed her. Her example is not just for her time, but for all of us today.
Father, let us consider our trials with great joy so that we can demonstrate the Christ-likeness you desire for us. Amen.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and stand and join together in joy to the world.
How many kings step down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me. All for me. Down from their thrones, how many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Sing that again.
And how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many? Christ is
let's just pray over these. Lord Jesus, we really ask you for two blessings. First, the blessings over these tithes and offerings, that they will be used for your kingdom purposes. The second thing is, Lord, we ask you that you would come over our hearts and our minds and our values so that we become your generous servants. Not just generous here at church, but generous with people who need and generous with what we have, both time and money and other resources. Amen. Just to remind you, for those of you for whom this is relevant, as we come to the end of the 2024 tax year, if you want to have some of your gift giving counted as part of your charitable giving, please make sure the church gets that in a timely way. So let's release the children for Sunday school. If you would all come forward rather than go out the door, just come forward really quickly. We're going to ask Jesus to bless you. Angel made it up first. Hey, David, Ryan, Paige. I just want to remind you what I know you know. I want to remind you that these are important people. In a very short time, they will be elders. Elder women, elder brothers, fully mature, making big decisions in life. Now they are youth. Holy Spirit, we just ask you, and I ask you if you raise your hands. Holy Spirit, work in their hearts, their minds, and their bodies today. Bless their teachers and empower your word. Amen. Just in case anybody got worried when I called them all elders, I wasn't speaking of the office. All right. So in terms of announcements, we have a couple. If somebody knows there's another important announcement and I'm missing it, raise your hand. So the Christmas party is going to be this Wednesday coming up, December 18th. So Wednesday, December 18th, 6:30 p.m., the bulletin has some details. So let's all really try to be here. It's a real time to get to know people that you only know a little bit, to just enjoy the pleasure of this company, which is a company that supports us in following Jesus. There are many other companies in our lives, work company, neighbor company. This is a very special company, and it's God's company for us in that way. And then secondly, the Christmas Eve service is going to be on Tuesday the 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. So we hope everybody can come for that. So in preparation for teaching, Cameron, you come up and read the word for us.
Teaching. I was told I was just going to be reading. I'm just kidding. Okay. We have three verses this morning. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 16 in ESV. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it's proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For all at one time you were in the darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Second verse comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And finally, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." The word of the Lord.
He gives the word. And at the same time, let's pray that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds, so that he gives the word and that we get it inside. Holy Spirit, come over us. Come over Eric. This is your life-changing word. Come and open us to it. Amen.
your freedom of God in the light of Christ to walk in the light locally. So we talk about this freedom in Christ. Use it to walk in the light. Walk in the light. But not just the general, but we're talking about walking in the light in the local way, in your job, in your family, in your city, in your Jerusalem. So Cameron has read these passages. You know, as we consider using the freedom of God in the light of Christ to walk in the light locally, I would like to bring three aspects of that out this morning from Scripture. First, do this by exposing the works of darkness. Second, do this by proclaiming your testimony. And third, do this by walking in this light. So let's look at the first aspect of using your freedom of God in the light of Christ to walk in the light locally by, number one, exposing the works of darkness. And that's Ephesians 5, 7 through 16. We read that passage. And Ephesians brings up this idea that once you and I have been transformed by the light through Jesus, we now can't help but expose the deeds of darkness. This is not being a tattletale. This is not running around and being self-righteous. But if you are a light and you come into a dark place, what will happen? It's going to light it up. It will expose the darkness. Now, you might think, oh, exposing a darkness sounds like a hard thing to do. You feel like, I'm going to be running around lifting up rocks and seeing things scurry. And people are going to stay away from me. And there may be an aspect of that. Jesus said that if you seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. You will face rejection. Because when you are light, if someone doesn't want to be in the light and you're around them, what are they going to do? They're going to flee. They might attack. They might try to extinguish that light. There's various responses. But what's encouraging in this passage, I encourage you to turn to Ephesians 7. One thing that jumps out to me that's very encouraging here is in verse 13, 14, let me read that. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. That's like, duh, okay. But next it says, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When you and I are acting as children of the light, and we're exposing the deeds of darkness by our presence being there, there is the hope that your light will transform someone else. Because our light is not just our truth, it's Christ. When it says earlier that we have become children of the light. We are light. When you and I have had Christ shine on us, it's sort of like those glow-in-the-dark stars. Does anyone put those on your ceiling? Or maybe you had that glow-in-the-dark paint that you, like, you know, sprinkled on the ceiling even better. It looks like little dots. But when you turn on a light, that absorbs that light, and it gives it off. So, in a sense, when we have come into Christ's light, he puts himself inside us by his Holy Spirit. We are now giving light the light of Christ. So you and I can be part of that person coming to Christ because he's shining through you to others. As you are walking in the light in him, you will be a light and you may have the joy of seeing others coming to the light. So exposing the deeds of darkness is not always a hard, hard, difficult thing. Sometimes it's just a very joyful thing. But often it is a path that involves suffering. That involves making choices. Because you can walk out in the world and we can kind of cover the light and hide it. It was interesting. We often during family camp, we will do capture the flag in the dark. Some of the kids like doing that. But one thing some of the kids do, and I have to always say, no, you can't do that. They have the wristbands on it that identify their team. And what do? They kind of cover it or hide it under their shirt, and they're over on the other side because no one can see them. They're hiding their light. That's not what this is talking about. We shouldn't be out in the world hiding our light, being a secret undercover Christian. No, he says, be a Christian and be that light. Don't hide it. Be necessarily that you're going to be going around self-righteously calling everybody out, but as you maybe say, I'm not going to participate in that, I'm going to walk this way, as you are maybe rather than complaining like everyone else does, you're grateful, you're kind rather than cruel, you're forgiving rather than judgmental, those sorts of fruit of the Spirit. When you have that fruit of the Spirit before others, it's very different than how the world operates, and it will cause some reaction. So one big question, I want to elicit some response. I'm not going to do that for every point today, but I think this would be good to hear from you. So here's this question. I'll read it a couple times. How do we shine our light in a way it was intended to be shown? Or maybe let me reword it this way. How do we do it in a Christ-like way rather than a self-righteous way? So how do you show your light? What are some ways you do that locally that maybe you've done that and you felt like, I was doing that in the right way, not in a way that's unnecessarily offending, but is doing that. So I'd love to hear a story or testimony. Like, what can we learn from each other? Because that is the tricky part. I could say, go out and shine your light, and you're thinking of all the reasons why you shouldn't or all the reasons why it's going to go bad. But I want to hear maybe what's a way one of you has done it that has gone good. And you're like, that I felt like God was saying, yeah, Oliver.
It's nothing like crazy or anything, but I do. I work with construction and stuff, so a lot of the guys are really rough, gruff, and they swear all the time, talk about all this stuff, you know. And kind of how I do it is, I just don't swear at all. I don't talk about that stuff. If they're talking about it, I'm like, okay, and that's kind of walk away. Or if they're swearing or something, I had one guy one time. He was like, he was talking to me, and I forget what the conversation was. But he's like, oh yeah, you can't say that, right? And I was like, well, I just don't curse or swear or talk about that stuff. So. Just in a simple way, I guess that's kind of how I do it.
Yeah, that's great, Galbert. Anyone else? All right. Well, I'll go, Dan. Okay. You go, Dan.
I'm thinking about a past time, a long time ago, when I used to move furniture. But we'd be on the road, and we'd go off the road to get a hotel. And the guy that I was with, who was basically the band for me, he says, okay, we're going to mark this off at, we got here at whatever, 7:30 p.m. I said, well, I can't do that. We got here at 5:30. And so, I mean, he had a choice and I had a choice. But he said, if it was anybody else, I'd be upset. Because I know where you're at, and I know you're just trying to be honest. And we had no, you know, discretion about that. He went to bed, and we went ahead and put 5:30, and he had to put 5:30 too. Just something that was a good thing.
Yeah.
So I was actually talking to a student the other day. She asked if she could just sit in my classroom for lunch, and I said, sure, why not? She didn't want to be claustrophobic, it was super loud. And I just spent time talking to her, getting to know her. I hadn't really had a chance to build a rapport with her much, so I took the opportunity. And then things kind of started divulging a little bit more into, like, when she was telling me about her boyfriend she'd been with for a few months, and I was talking to her, trying to figure out, like, how their relationship was, how the relationship with his parents was, just to see how
chopping branches off the tree, you know, maybe calling out, oh, you swear, or do this or that. But really what you want to get to is the root of the problem, right? We cut branches off, they'll grow back in a different way. So often, you know, I remember when I first came to Grace Fellowship, there was a young woman that came up to me, and she said, I had some problems with the previous pastor. And she said, where do you stand? I'm bisexual. Where do you stand about that? And I was like, oh, wow, this feels like a setup. And I was like, just kind of did an air prayer to the Lord. How do I answer this, you know? I feel like it's like, do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? It's like one of those setup questions. And I just said to her, well, do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus? And she said, yeah. I was like, okay. What does the Word have to say about this? You know, that's what matters. Are you willing to follow what the Word says about this, not where I stand on this? And that was the end of the conversation. So, you know, I just pointed her to that. You know, and so you want to deal with the root. If someone's not even following the Lord, and you're maybe confronting them on their telling dirty stories or other things or being ungrateful, well, they shouldn't be. that's not even expected of them, right? So first, say, you know, I remember one guy that was really effective evangelist, Virgil Adams. He was a missionary that I really looked up to. He would just constantly ask people, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? You know, he turned the conversation to that rather than all the moral stuff. He turned it to, who is Jesus? Who do you say he is? And then, have you made him your Lord and Savior? You know, so I think that is one way to be the light and not be so in a self-righteous kind of judgmental, harsh way, is you kind of exposing, who are you following, right? Are you following Jesus or something else? And that leads to our second point here, is this idea of we're that light by proclaiming our testimony, number two. And 1 Peter 2:9, I felt like did that. And we went through that a few weeks back. But it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is this verse saying? It's saying that you have been chosen. You are this special chosen people. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's sharing your testimony. You're proclaiming what he has done for you. Now, there's various forms of testimony, you know, out there. There's the, testifying how great God is. There's testifying how he rescues you from darkness. You can also testify to how you are continuing to seek to walk in this light. How many find it easy to walk in the light? I don't. It's hard. Sometimes it's easy, but it can be a challenge. It's an ongoing thing. It's not like, oh, I just prayed a prayer to Jesus when I was 7 and I'm good. It's a path. They called first, you know, before they called people that follow Christ Christians, they called them followers of the way. It's a journey. It's a path. We're not at the destination. We're following Christ. Like Greg said today, what did Jesus say? Come follow me. So we choose daily whether we're following him or not. And it's an ongoing choice. So one thing I'd like you to do in Circle Church today, you might say, what is Circle Church? If you're a visitor today, after the service, we have what's called Circle Church. It's not Sunday school. We meet in different groups. There's a group that meets out there. There's a group that meets in the kitchen, one that meets here, one that meets in the lobby, one that meets in the far end, and we call it the multi-purpose room. And it's a chance for us to get to know people, to feel welcomed, because many churches you go to, the church service ends, and everybody bolts. And it's really hard to get to know people, or if you do get to know people, it's kind of like a holy cocktail hour over coffee, where you're just sharing surface stuff. But what we hope Circle Church could be is a place where you can hear what others are needing and what you're needing. Pray for one another. You can process what we looked at today, apply it to your life. That would be the hope. So when you go to Circle Church, if you're a visitor, I encourage you to come to Circle Church. If you don't know which one to go to, you know, pick the person next to you and say, which one are you going to? And go with them. But in Circle Church, I would love for you to share to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into light. Maybe you want to share your testimony. Maybe you want to share how you're currently trying to walk in the light and how you want them to pray for you, because that's a struggle. And it's a lot easier to walk in the light with others than by yourself. So that's one reason we come together. And this kind of leads to that third point here. You know, we looked at exposing the works of darkness, proclaiming our testimony, and finally we're looking at this. We can use our freedom of God and the light of Christ to walk in the light locally by walking in this light. So you might say, okay, that seems redundant, but 1 John 1:5-7 talks about this. It is a charge to all of us to continue making walking in the light of God and Christ our highest priority in our lives. As I said before, it's not a one-time event. It's a journey. And one crucial aspect of this I see in verse 7. If you want to look at 1 John 1:7. We're jumping around a tad today, but this I thought this was very sobering as I read this, but you might say, how do I know I'm walking in the light? What are some evidence? There's two things it says in verse 7 that will be evidences that you're walking in the light. Let's read this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So the first thing is, you have fellowship with other people in the family of God. What is fellowship? Help me understand. What is fellowship? That's the word we don't use often, and you don't go to work and say, I love this fellowship we're having. What is fellowship? Anyone? Okay. Fellows in a ship. What is it? Camaraderie. Okay, so if you and I are walking in the light, we will be in camaraderie with the family of God. We will want to be in that. We will be regularly in that. I want you to look at the person to your right, to your left, and say, you're my family in Christ. Now, you may see them and go, I don't know if I want them to be my family in Christ. And as we say, you know, you can't always choose your family. You just experienced Thanksgiving. You're coming up to Christmas, and sometimes those are hard get-togethers, aren't they? You go, oh, gosh, I'm going to see so-and-so. I don't know if I want to see so-and-so. But if you and I have been born again, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, if we are walking in the light, we will put up with those people around us. I want you to notice that no one you look at today has the exact same view of life as you. They don't have the same causes they're interested. They may not be the same page as you absolutely theologically. They may have some habits that really annoy you. But did you know that you're the same towards them a little bit? So we are called to love one another. Think of all those one another's, right? Be patient with one another. Forgive one another. Someone here may view things differently than you, and it really rubs you wrong. If you and I withdraw from fellowship, I would say you're not walking in the light. I'm not necessarily saying you're not a Christian, but actively walking in the light, it brings us, we have a hunger and a desire to be in fellowship. That's walking in the light. That's one of the evidences that you and I are intentionally seeking to walk in the light, is we will be in good fellowship in a body of Christ. There may not be a great fellowship, but it will be somewhere. So if you're here today, this is your body of Christ, this is your family of God, and you're called to love everyone here, even though they can be hard. Some are easier to love than others, but I would encourage you, as we heard this morning, be welcoming even to the challenging ones. Be welcoming even to the stranger you don't know. Step outside yourself and seek to get to know others and reach out. Get to know this family of God. You have gifts that they need, and they have gifts that you need. The second aspect, if we look here at verse 7, it says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you and I are walking in the light, it's going to reveal the stuff in our lives, and it will begin to cleanse us. A lot of people think, oh, I can't go to church. I'll go to church when I get my life cleaned up, when I get my act together. You don't get your act together. God gets your act together. When you step into the light and he reveals your stuff and you humble yourself and let him shine his light upon you, sin will begin to disappear in your life. He will address the stuff in your life if you will let him. When you walk into the light, then you either have to repent or run away. And but if you trust, and we talked about this weeks before, if you trust that he is a good Savior, we heard that song today, how many kings would lay down their crown? How many kings would do all these things? He is a good king. His light is a good light. And even though it's painful to come into the light with him, he is not going to judge us when we come into the light. He actually wants to cleanse us. Do you believe that today, saints? Do you believe that? If you don't, you will be scared to come into the light. Because if you come into the light in the world, what happens? You get canceled. You get judged. You get written off. You know, you see people that maybe have done something and they apologize. And even the apology is not enough. You got to pay a pound of flesh. God is different. If you come into the light with God, he desires to forgive you, to cleanse you, to help you in every facet of getting that sin out of your life. He doesn't want that to be there. He won't tolerate that there, but he loves you and he will walk with you every step of the way. So this idea of walking in the light, we're in fellowship with other believers, and we are being set free from our stuff. Now, we all still got stuff. He may say, let's deal with this today or this year or whatever, but walking in the light involves dealing with your stuff. So how are we doing at this Grace Fellowship? If we see someone pulling away, doesn't mean we go after them and say, you're such a bad person, you're pulling away. But do you go after those that maybe are pulling away from fellowship and say, what's going on? How are you doing? I noticed you haven't been here in a while. Are you doing all right? What's going on? Okay, this person offended you or this or that. Let's work that out. Can you forgive them? Do you need to talk to them? This thing that someone said or whatever. Are we helping the body to walk in the light? Are we regularly letting God and others speak into our lives? A lot of times we're maybe okay with God speaking into our life, but we're a little reluctant to let others speak into our life because they don't always do it maybe tactfully enough, lovingly enough, right? And that's something where we have to grow in those one another. But as you see mature believers in Grace Fellowship, you see someone that's consistently wise, loving, sound in their beliefs. Do you ever ask them, hey, do you see anything in me that I might need to be working on? That's maybe a way to open up rather than just running up and say, I have something to tell you. Doesn't always go so great. But are we willing to open ourselves up and say, do you see anything in me that maybe would be good to work on? Do we do that? Do we open ourselves up to God and others and let them speak into our lives? So today we looked at what it means to walk in the light of God in Christ locally. And when we do that, people will be either running from God or running to him as we come around them. We'll have a polarizing effect a little bit wherever we go. But this isn't because you or I are jerks or mean. It's because when light reveals things, it's either cleansed or it scurries away. So I would challenge us today to be walking in the light, to be light locally. Be light in your job. Be light in your family. Be light in your neighborhood. Be light with your friends. Be light with your enemies. And remember, you don't have to do this on your own. You have God's help to do this. This is a great time of year. There's so many people hearing these carols and other things. It's a great opportunity often to be the light. Often people are a little more open to it, even this time of year. So my prayer for you is that as you are encountering people, that you could just be a winsome light for God as you're pursuing after him, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, as you're pursuing to love others as yourself. That those keeping of that great commandment is going to make a huge impact. You'll be shining bright as you're seeking to do that. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the source of the light. Many of us here have encountered the light and responded to it, not by running away, but by running towards it. I pray now as we walk in the light that we would be inadvertently and maybe intentionally exposing the deeds of darkness around us with the mind that it brings cleansing restoration, that we would be willing to share and proclaim how we've come into the light, how you brought us into the light, and that we would make walking in the light a priority by being in fellowship with others, other believers, and by letting you deal with our stuff. Lord, may it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand up, and after this, we will encourage you to go to Circle Church. Even the youth, sixth grade and up, there is a youth circle up in the upper room at the top of the stairs. You can make your way to that. And one thing we just do is hold up our hands, just an act of receiving. A benediction is a blessing. So go forth this week using your freedom of God in the light of Christ to walk in the light locally. Do this by allowing the fact that you are light to expose the works of darkness. Do this by proclaiming your testimony. Do this by continuing to walk in the light, by being in regular fellowship with believers and allowing sin in your life to be